How now, Dow? Wow?
Woo-hoo!
Or Bow Wow? That's right, coming right up, we're going to try to figure out what this Dow Jones Industrial Average is anyway, and if it matters, and what Jim thinks about the stocks that are in it. Of course, we'll spin the wheel in Guru Roulette. Then we'll go fishing for Cramer stocks that are underwater. More like deep sea diving, if you know what I mean. We'll play Pick the Cramer Pick and see if you can win. The whole idea is to try to get rich beyond your wildest dreams here on the Mad Money Machine! I want to thank you for pointing your browser or your RSS feed catcher or your iTunes thingamabob my way. This is Paul Douglas Boyer, and this is your Mad Money Machine, show number 22. I want to thank Stu for the logo entry. Go out to madmoneymachine.com and you see what he drew up. Anybody else want to draw something up, send it my way. If it's investment advice you're after, don't come to me. I'm really just telling you what other people have said. Do your own investigating before doing any investing. All right, before we get into everything else, I've got a couple of questions and observations. First of all, Vonage is going to have an IPO soon. What's that going to do to eBay with its holdings of Skype? Is that, if Vonage has a big, successful IPO, does that mean that eBay's valuation should be higher? Next question. I've been reading where mutual fund investors are expecting to get a big tax increase this time. Because all of the losses that these mutual funds have incurred have now been absorbed by the gains in the stocks that have gone up since the 2000 calamity. And so a lot of mutual fund investors are going to be seeing capital gains taxes soon, especially Magellan, which was one that featured in the Wall Street Journal today or yesterday. Not ETF investors, though, for the most part. ETF investors don't have capital gains within the funds. There isn't any trading around like a mutual fund manager might do, which is one of the advantages of an exchange-traded fund. Now, I've got another question for you. Let's say that you have the opportunity to buy some Microsoft stock right now, MSFT, mid-May. And you expect it, you're expecting it to go up 15% by the end of next May. That's 1 year from now. Or you can listen to Jim Cramer and buy the next hot stock of the month and sell it sometime before next May after it cools off. How much would hot stock, ticker symbol HOT, have to go up in order to equal the 15% long-term gain you expect in Microsoft? And I would be assuming that you're in a taxable account here. And I would be assuming that the differential between the long-term capital gains tax and the short-term capital gains tax is 16%. This can vary depending upon your tax bracket, but this is the number I picked out of the air. So in other words, if you sell something before a year is up, you're going to pay 16% extra tax on any gains that you would have. So what percentage do you need to get over 15% in order to make up for the tax hit that you're going to take? Well, according to my spreadsheet, you'd need to get 18.5% return in 1 year on a stock in order to just break even with the expected 15%. Just one more variable to think about when you're thinking about investing. Well, techs are really out of favor now. Healthcare is out of favor also. I just rotated out of some Vanguard Healthcare Mutual Fund over into Precious Metals Fund. Probably signals the peak of the precious metals, I'm sorry to say, folks. But I will watch it carefully and sell when the metals show technical weakness. Now, exactly what does that mean, technical weakness? I have no idea. One of the keys to making money, a wise man once said, is to be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Well, right now, everybody's greedy about the precious metals. So I guess we should be fearful. And right now, a lot of people are fearful of tech and healthcare. So I think this saying works in the long term, but maybe not the short term. Now, I don't give Jim Cramer enough praise on this show. I think of the last show, I battered him about some of the ERTS picks, and I talk about some of the bad picks that he's had. But in general, I want to say that, of course, I've watched every episode Except for one that I missed. Don't want to say that too loudly, but I missed one episode in the last year. I don't give him enough credit because, you know what? Watching the Mad Money TV show, listening to Real Money, watching thestreet.com have all helped to educate me about the variety of stocks and companies that there are, about the importance of looking at the right sector that's hot in the market, and whether or not any particular stock pick has helped me make money or not. The learning process has been extremely valuable, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jim. But, Jim, I got to call you on the carpet for one thing on your show tonight, May 11th, Thursday. You got an email from someone who said that since you like Boeing and General Dynamics and Lockheed and Northrop, whether it wouldn't be better just to buy the Amex Defense Sector Index and not worry about which one gets the Pentagon contract. Well, you said, I think I can pick them better than any index. You also get that flotsam with the jetsam. I like to separate the wheat from the chaff. I love using glossiers. I think I've isolated the best ones, and I don't want you in the index. Well, I took a look at the Amex Defense Sector Index, and it is comprised of 14 stocks. And of those 14 stocks, you have fairly recently come out bullish on all but three of them. And one of those three is Stewart & Stevenson Services, which is having a proposed merger with Armor Holdings, which you were bullish on. So that narrows it down to just two that you have not talked about, United Industrial Corp and Rockwell Collins. United Industrial Corp has already missed the quarter and the shares are already down. So, you know, there's kind of room to go up there maybe. And then Rockwell Collins, the earnings rose on April 25th, so they reported good. I think you got this one wrong, Jim. I think it's okay to invest in something like the Amex Defense, but of course it is not a fund. It's an index. Now, there is also another index called the Dow Jones U.S. Aerospace and Defense Fund Index. There is an iShares ETF that just came out on May 5th that tracks this Dow Jones Index. And it has in it 32 stocks in different weightings, Boeing being the most heavily weighted, then United Technologies, Lockheed, General Dynamics, Northrop, Raytheon, Rockwell. And of these, I calculate that you have declared bullishness on 70% of them, bearishness on only 3.5%, and then unknown is 26%. So if you're saying you can pick the right one, well, which one of these then, of all the ones that you've been bullish on, should I buy? Should I buy all of them? It looks to me like I am buying all of them if I get into this exchange-traded fund, iShares Dow Jones U.S. Aerospace and Defense Fund, ITA. I'll have more information about that on my website, madmoneymachine.com. Oh, well, more about Jim's picks a little later. First, let's play a round of Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. Then for the selected guru, give a little background on their investment philosophy and try to pick a stock that matches it. So here we go. And the winner this time is Warren Buffett. Finally, we finally hit on Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett occupies the treasured 00 spot of the roulette wheel, and we have just missed him a couple of times on the Mad Money Machine Guru Roulette segment. Well, if you don't know who Warren Buffett is, then you probably haven't been investing very long. He's the chairman and CEO of a company called Berkshire Hathaway, ticker symbol BRK. A or BRK dot A or BRK slash A or BRK B or BRK dot B or BRK slash B, depending on which particular quote thing you're using. And he happens to be the second richest person in the world, worth about $42 billion, give or take $5 billion. What's $5 billion? Well, his company, Berkshire Hathaway, his BRKA shares trade at about $90,000, maybe $89 something. The BRKB shares trade at about a 30th of that, is it? $3,000, $2,980 something recently. And this is the time of the year that Warren Buffett is in the news because he has his annual shareholders meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. It's the Woodstock of capitalism. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of background on Warren Buffett. There's plenty of places for that in books and audiobooks and websites, including BerkshireHathaway.com and his annual reports. But I will give you some quotes. He said, "The definition of a great company is one that will be great for 25 to 30 years. He also said, "We've long felt that the only value of stock forecasters is to make fortune tellers look good. Even now, Charlie and I continue to believe that short-term market forecasts are poison and should be kept locked up in a safe place away from children and also from grown-ups who behave like children in the market." He said, "If you expect to be a net saver over the next 5 years, should you hope for higher or lower stock market during that period? Many investors get this one wrong. Even though they're going to be net buyers of stocks for many years to come, they are elated when stock prices rise and depressed when they fall. This reaction makes no sense. Only those who will be sellers of equities in the near future should be happy at seeing stocks rise. Prospective purchasers should much prefer sinking prices." He said, "Success in investing doesn't correlate with IQ once you're above a level of about 25. Once you have ordinary intelligence, what you need is the temperament to control the urges that get other people into trouble in investing." He said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." He also said, "The stock market is designed to transfer money from the active to the patient." You've heard me talk about the Rule Number One book. Warren Buffett is cited heavily in the Rule Number One, and he's the one that has the quote that says, "Rule Number One is don't lose money. Rule Number Two is never forget Rule Number One." Well, Berkshire Hathaway owns a bunch of other companies: Geico, General Re, See's Candies, Benjamin Moore, Fruit of the Loom, The Pampered Chef, Dairy Queen, and NetJets. And his company also owns stock in a lot of companies like Amex, Anheuser-Busch, Coca-Cola, PetroChina, Procter & Gamble. He even owns 0.5% of Walmart, 18% of the Washington Post, and Wells Fargo. In his 2005 annual report, which just came out, which I have in my hands, which you can also get and download from the BerkshireHathaway.com website, he says, "It's been an easy matter for Berkshire and other owners of American equities to prosper over the years." He said, "Between December 31st, 1899 and December 31st, 1999, to give a really long-term example, the Dow rose from 66 to 11,497. He asks you to guess what annual growth rate is required to produce this result. And the answer is at the end of the section. It's 5.3% compounded annually, but that doesn't even include dividends. He says the huge rise came about for a simple reason. Over the century, American businesses did extraordinarily well, and investors rode the wave of their prosperity. Businesses continue to do well, but now shareholders, through a series of self-inflicted wounds, are in a major way cutting the returns they will realize from their investments." He says there's a fundamental truth. The most that owners in aggregate can earn between now and Judgment Day is what their businesses in aggregate earn. He says true by buying and selling, that is clever or lucky, investor A may take more of his share of the pie at the expense of investor B. Sounds like that gambling, remember? And yes, all investors feel richer when stocks soar, but an owner can exit only by having someone else take his place. If one investor sells high, another must buy high. For owners as a whole, there is simply no magic, no shower of money from outer space that will enable them to extract wealth from their companies beyond that created by the companies themselves. And then he goes on to talk about the additional frictional costs that are in the marketplace and all these helpers that are in there taking their little piece. And that's why returns going forward won't be as much as they have been in the past. And that's unfortunate. Oh, and at the end of this section in the annual report, he asks, what would the Dow Jones have to be on December 31st, 2099, if it went up 5.3% every year like it has for the past 100 years? He says, brace yourself. Precisely $2,011,011.23. But I'd be willing to settle for $2 million. 6 years into this century, the Dow has gained not at all. Well, Warren Buffett recently agreed to purchase 80% of an Israeli toolmaker, Iskar Metalworking. And Kramer talked about that on his show a couple days ago. He had a couple of better picks of Israeli companies that you should buy. And also, Kramer says that AES could be, he kind of speculates, should be a Berkshire Hathaway takeover stock. Well, we'll see about that. That's our winner for show 22. Finally, Warren Buffett. And of course, as he owns the prestigious 00 spot on the roulette wheel, I will not be removing his name, so he may come up again sometime in the future. And if you're interested in learning more about the Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting, I've got a link on my website to a guy who took a bunch of notes when he attended the meeting at the question and answer session, and you can read all about the ideas that Warren Buffett has on today's economy. So, out of college and into my first apartment, watching Louis Rukeyser investing in Fidelity Magellan Fund with Peter Lynch at the helm, at my apartment door, there was a flyer posted on all the apartment doors that said, come to the clubhouse for a meeting on investments and how you can learn to invest. And there'll be a drawing for a free book. So I thought, oh, that's cool. So I went to the investment meeting, and I was one of two people that showed up. And lucky for me, I won the book. The book was called Dow Power to 3,000. And I've tried to look that up. I can't seem to find it anywhere. But it was a good book talking about the stock market and how you should invest in things and helped put me on the right path to investing. Of course, the Dow has surged past 3,000. There was a book that came out in 1999, though, called Dow 36,000, The New Strategy for Profiting from the Coming Rise in the Stock Market by James Glassman and others. And that book is fairly widely ridiculed now for its optimism during the dot-com bubble. And, of course, we have our Harry Dent from early on in the show who has the book The Next Great Bubble Boom, and he talks about Dow to 40,000 by 2010 or so. And in the news today, we have the Dow is nearing its all-time highs of 11,700 and something. And so I'm wondering, what is the Dow anyway? I used to think that Dow Jones Industrials meant it was 30 industrial companies. Well, it's not quite accurate. Where else would you find someone that's able to read to you all 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrials? Well, nowhere else than right here. And they are 3M, Alcoa, Altria, American Express, AIG, AT&T, Boeing, Caterpillar, Citigroup, Coca-Cola, DuPont, Exxon, General Electric, General Motors, Hewlett-Packard, Home Depot, Honeywell, Intel, IBM, Johnson & Johnson, J.P. Morgan, McDonald's, Merck & Microsoft, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, United Technologies, and Verizon, Walmart, and Disney. Aren't you glad I didn't feature the S&P 500? Of those 30 stocks, Kramer has taken a position on all 30 of them, and guess how many he's been bearish on? 11. And they're ones that you might think he's bearish on. AT&T, Verizon, Coca-Cola, Exxon, Intel, Microsoft, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, And he was bearish on Alcoa, but he changed his mind and said the miserable performer blew away the numbers. Imagine how all the others in the category would do. And just a day ago is when he changed his mind on Citigroup from bearish to bullish. He said, right here, right now, at this very moment, I'm upgrading my view of Citigroup. Can you believe it? I've been down on Citi for 7 years. But right here at 50, I think it's breaking out. World-class M&A. He said, wow, that's an upgrade. Oh, and by the way, when CNBC talks about the Dow being near its all-time high, as it was 6 years ago, the Dow Jones is made up of the same 30 stocks that it was 6 years ago. There haven't been any changes to the Dow Jones in those 6 years. So it's a good apples-to-apples comparison. So if you want to buy all those 30 stocks, including the 11 that Jim doesn't like, go out and buy the DIA. That's the Dow Jones ETF. Hey, I was looking at the ActionAlertPlus.com stocks that Jim mentions, and I kind of keep track of the ones he mentions on his show. And when he mentions them, I write it down and kind of look and see how they've performed. Well, let's take a look at some of those. ABB, he bought in March. It's up 23%. PCU, he bought in March. That's the Southern Copper. It's up 31%. And BHP Billiton, it's up 33% since he bought it. Good going. Nice gains there. But he's got some loser mentions. Since he last mentioned buying Microsoft, it is down 15%. He mentioned Aqua America, symbol WTR. It's down 15%. Oh, and of course, the House of Pain, Dr. UNH, down 21% since a mention in March. Cephalon also down 21%. And when he sold AAUK, it's up 31% since then. Oops. Well, on his show the other day, he had a Bowie knife, a bowling pin, and some Play-Doh, and I was seriously expecting him to start juggling. Let's go fishing for Cramer stocks underwater. Yeah, this is the game where we look back and see what stocks Jim has featured on his show and pick the ones that are below the point where he recommended them, because maybe now they're even a better buy. On March 30th, he said Movado Group, MOV. He said they're one of the best luxury good makers around. Well, they're even better now, down 12%. March 31st, Glenair Technologies, ticker symbol GEMS. Said there's a lot of research saying this one's going to go up. Well, it didn't. It went down 37%. It was announced that Sprint would not be using their technology. Also on March 31st, G3 Apparel Group. Now, this one is not necessarily a Jim Cramer pick, but he had the CEO on the show talking about a new line of clothing. Said that he is diversifying out of just winter weather clothing, and they will work with a line for Walmart. It's down 15% since then. On April 11th, Avanir Pharmaceuticals said it is just listed on the NASDAQ and it's time to buy the stock because the FDA has given some of its formulations priority status. Well, it's down 30%. And on April 11th, also, OpenWave, OPWV, said with all the convergence talk in the air, Cramer said the play is OpenWave. Well, it's a lot cheaper now at 25% down. More recently, some stocks he's mentioned in May, just about every stock he's mentioned in May is up since he mentioned it. I don't know what Gazprom is doing, though, but these four stocks are down slightly since their recent mention. Cano Petroleum, CANO, down 4.6%. Nucor, NUE, down 1.5%. Foster Wheeler, down 2.4%. And Northrop Corporation, just mentioned, down 0.8%. Let's play a quick round of Pick the Cramer Pick. This is where we go back, pick a date from the past, tell you about some of the featured stocks that Jim recommended on that date, and you pick the one that went up the most. This is going back to March 28th. Smithfield Foods. He said, you want to make some money on the coming bird flu pandemic? Buy Smithfield Foods because people are going to stop eating chickens and beef and they're go for the Smithfield Foods pork. SFD is the ticker there. Or how about Oakley said sunglasses are so untrendy that they're not even selling knockoffs on the street next to the fake Rolexes. But it's still a smart stock to buy for the summer because the company is cleaning up its accounting problems. Oakley, his symbol OO. Then there's two stocks that he talked about benefiting from the contango. Contango is when prices on commodities contracts for delivery further out into the future are more expensive than they are currently. He said statistics from UBS show that when there's a steep contango in natural gas, there should be a rally, he said. And he said that's what's happening now. So it needs to look for Arena Resources, ARD, and a tricky one, because he's mentioned this a couple of times. This is his first mention of Energy Partners Limited, ticker symbol EPL. So which one's it going to be? Pick the Cramer pick, Smithfield Foods, Oakley, Arena Resources, or Energy Partners Limited. Where are you going to put your money to make the most money between now, then and now? Well, if you picked the bird flu thing, you picked wrong, because Smithfield Foods is down 3.1%. And Energy Partners Limited, EPL, is up, but 6.5% since then. It's kind of been bouncing around a little bit. And so now it comes down between Oakley and Arena Resources. And would you believe that Oakley is the winner at 9%, Arena Resources 8.5%. So congratulations, if you picked sunglasses, you're the winner on Pick the Cramer Pick. And just an update on the Portfolio Smackdown, where we have an ETF portfolio going up against the portfolio of Cramer stocks. The ETF portfolio as of Thursday, May 11th, is up 12.6%. The Cramer portfolio is up 14.7%. We did make some trades in the Cramer portfolio this week. We got rid of Sara Lee, and we got rid of PACCAR because he said sell it when it gets to 77. We sold it at about 78 or something. And we replaced PACCAR with his hot pick, Foster Wheeler, FWLT. Haven't replaced Sara Lee yet with a secular soft goods. Don't know what to pick there. He's just not bullish on that sector, so it's going to be a hard one to pick. Well, if you'd like to play against the ETF portfolio, then go out to madmoneymachine.com and join in the Mad Money Machine Investment Guru Challenge. It'll take you out to simulator.zacks.com. We've got over 100 people playing. It is not too late to join. It'll never be too late to join until the end of this year. You will get $100,000 in play money and see if you can invest it better than everybody else, and especially better than the ETF portfolio, which, by the way, is not doing pretty bad. It's in the 15th place out of 100 entries. Pretty good. You can see on there, my Hail Mary pass is that, well, first of all, I had some puts on the DIA, the Dow Jones Industrial Averages, but I sold them on the day before the Dow went down 150 points. So that really stinks. And so my Hail Mary pass is when Google dropped 3%, the stock dropped 3%, I have plunged $44,000 worth of money into September Google calls. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If it works out, it could be good. Well, I am going to leave you now, but I will be back next week with a very special and fun, I hope, show called The Cramer Code, where we look at secrets and intrigue and have a whole lot of fun not taking it too seriously next week. In the meantime, call me at the voicemail line, the Madden Machine voicemail line of 206-734-4736. That's 20 MP3 for iPod, if you'd like to remember it that way. Or just email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. I just enjoy hearing from you so much. And if you'd like to be an active participant of the Mad Money Machine, go out to madmoneymachine.com, click on the Action Items tab, top right corner of the page, and you'll see all the things you can do there to be an active participant in the Mad Money Machine. Well, this is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes partial ownership in a company to make a Mad Money Machine. See you next time. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.